and welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Double Dose of Disney podcast. As always, my name is Brittany and I am joined here today by my Pirates of the Caribbean loving husband, Tony. Heading to Walt Disney World with little ones is such a magical experience, but of course it's going to be different than if you're going as a couple or maybe going with older kids. We have twin 4-month-old daughters and we just got back from our first trip to Walt Disney World at the beginning of February. So we thought it'd be fun and kind of helpful to share our favorite ways to plan park days and things that we took away from our first 8 days in the parks as a family. Typically when we go to Disney in February, we go for a longer trip and we'll be there for about like 7 or 8 days, but we only go to the parks for like 4 or 5. But with the girls this time, we took advantage of getting to go into the parks every single day. So I feel like we learned a lot along the way, you know?
Oh yeah, you learn a lot no matter who you're with or what trip it is with, how many people you're with. This episode is not exclusive with kids too. I'll say, well, you can incorporate this trip into just going
with
a bigger group, more people, not just you two. It's always gonna be different. So like, if you see a kid, you can always preface it like with more your family, your extended family, more
right.
people, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like we were actually talking about it last night. We're planning a family trip with my parents and my brother and sister-in-law for next year. And so we were talking about, you know, it'll be different. Like we've never gone on a big family trip like that. But just
we don't allow people to come on our trips.
No, they should feel very special. No, I'm just totally kidding. But no, we really haven't ever gone on like a family trip with anybody else or a trip with anybody else to Disney World. We've met up with other people there, but it's just like this time, like we had always gone to Disney in the past as a couple. We started out going for our anniversary and then it was always just Tony and I. So this past trip when it was Tony and me and the girls, that was new for us and we learned a lot. So I'm excited to share what we learned.
Yeah, we learned so much we forgot half of it already. Like we should have had a journal or videoing the entire time so we could really get the gist of every day.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
Yeah.
It was fast. A lot of it was slower, but it was fast.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like we learned, our first park day was Animal Kingdom, and I feel like we learned so much that day. And then our second park day was Magic Kingdom, and then again, I feel like we learned so much that day. And really, by the third day, then it was like, okay, we kind of have it down.
This is not my first one, but this is my first one. Like, you just start slow and go to Animal Kingdom. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Go to Disney Springs or go to Animal Kingdom and just step into the shallow water of the pool first.
That's a good idea.
And then you can, it's not Magic Kingdom with 1,000 rides and there's Genie Plus and you're
right.
running and get your feet wet, especially people who have been there before or with kids. Like you can get it down, get some rhythm down. That's what we did in that park. Where do we change them? What do we got to do?
You know,
just dip it in there. We're not jump on the only couple rides that we have. If we can.
Right.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Which works with that. But we did that just by ourselves, but we did. Go to Animal Kingdom first day, because it was just slower. You just travel the day before, or the day of. You don't want to go to the end of the...
Yeah, and...
heavy hitters first.
One of the things that I had learned this a long time ago. I heard someone say this one time, and I thought it was so smart. So Animal Kingdom opens usually at the same time as Magic Kingdom, but it also is the park that it closes the earliest. And I had heard, like, never go into... So if Magic Kingdom is going to be your second park day, or, like, let's say Hollywood Studios is going to be your second park day, don't go to Hollywood Studios and then back-to-back with Magic Kingdom, because Hollywood Studios stays open till 9 or stays open late, and then you're up early again. So, like... Kind of like take like a, if you're not taking a rest day before, like take a slower park day before. So then we tried doing Animal Kingdom. We were like, we really like going to Animal Kingdom first.
Which brings me into my actual number one.
Oh.
Bring more than you'll need. Like on that first day, we did it. And like revise, like figure out what you don't need, what you like.
What do you mean bring more than you need?
So it's better to have more than enough. And then like
clothes
so
and stuff
us,
for the girls?
And the stroller.
And
we had to get in the bus. So we packed too much stuff. We, you know, whether it was just clothes or a blanket.
Yeah, we packed blankets.
Like, figure out, like, that's what I said.
We had a diaper
caddy on a slower day
for the stroller.
Bring everything. See what you actually need.
Yeah.
And
that's a good idea.
Leave everything else in the room because you don't want to carry anything else.
That's true.
You're not going to know until you get there and you're like, okay, weather-wise, if it's pretty much the same, well, do we actually need, you know, what do you need? What don't you need?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true,
for
too.
For any party, any kids, anything, that's just, what do we need every day? What don't we need?
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah, because, like, we, going into this trip, we had a groove down of, like, what went in our park bag every day, you know?
And yeah, you're carrying around, like, four things for no reason. Like, don't even use. Like, what the hell is this in my bag?
Well, we always had, like, a portable charger. We had our wallets. We had we typically had, like, jackets if we were going in February. Or we took raincoats with us. We would have a tumbler with us. And that would kind of all go in our park bag. And so we knew exactly what we needed, like sunglasses and a wallet, of course.
I try to be a minimalist.
Yeah.
And I don't even want anything in my pockets.
Tony tries to be a minimalist, but he also tries to put it all in my... Yeah, no, so well, that's exactly
pockets,
it.
My pockets are empty.
Yes, because he tries to put it all in my park bag.
And now it goes in the stroller or the diaper bag, whatever. And
yeah.
Free. Magic band, maybe the phone.
Yeah, like, so we kind of knew what to do. So that's a really good point that you brought up. Like, use that first day as not a practice day because it's a great park. We love that park, but as, like, to learn from.
It's a strolling park.
Yeah. My first one is plan park days according to your interest and be flexible with making changes. So what I mean by this is when you are preparing to go to Walt Disney World, I always recommend to my clients that I'm planning their Disney vacations for to go onto the Disney World app and, like, familiarize yourself with the attractions in each park. So there's so much more than just, like, Animal Kingdom riding Expedition Everest or Flight of Passage. There's the animation experience. There's these really amazing trails. And we've talked about those things before. But familiarize yourself with those things and kind of pick out things that are going to be of interest to your party in each of the parks. And then, plan your park days knowing, like, these, like, plan your park days kind of, like, in order of, okay, like, maybe you get there first and, like Tony said, you want to dip your, like, toe into the pool that first day. And then the second day you want to go to Magic Kingdom because you've got so much you want to do there. Really kind of, like, or maybe your kids are more into Star Wars. Maybe they're a little bit older than, they're not babies, and they're a little bit older. Like, maybe you spend more than one day at Hollywood Studios. For us with the girls, that was one of the things that we learned by, based off of interest and really their ages and stuff. There's so many family-friendly attractions in each of the Disney parks, but the park that has the most is Magic Kingdom. So Magic Kingdom, like, Hollywood Studios is my favorite park. You would say what? Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios is your favorite park?
It's a tie.
Okay.
I'll never pick again.
It's a tie. But after this trip, like, I mean, we love all of the parks, but after this trip, like, Magic Kingdom is really the park that we always loved that park, but we love it more. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like, that's where the girls are at. You know what I mean? Like, for, like, their age.
So basically, my number two, the number three, it merges with this one. You basically are still, which I never thought I would say my entire life, but do multiple park days on your favorite park.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're saying, really, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, we became pass holders this time, and it, like, the stress was off. We stayed next to Epcot, too. So, whether the girls got cranky, we were just, it was just too crammed, and we were just kind of done for the day. Cruise out, come back in, go to another resort, eat lunch, do whatever, then come back to Magic Kingdom. Where was your favorite park? A second day if you can.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not applicable if you can't do that.
Right.
But it's possible, like, plan out, and this is probably going to be the park to do that.
Magic Kingdom. Yeah, because Magic Kingdom's got, like, 20-something attractions.
It makes your entire trip and day less stressful because you're not having to just run around and figure everything out and be stressed out. And it's like, we get this done? Cool. If not, we'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And that's kind of how, yeah, that's exactly how we were this trip.
Like, leave an extra day for a park that you want to go back to twice.
True. Very true. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like, I think the only park we didn't go back to was Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's not going to be Animal Kingdom. I mean, it's probably Magic Kingdom. It's got to be it. I mean, we did Epcot because it was, you know, festivals. We stayed next to it. It's easy.
We
did
Hollywood Studios because we were already at Epcot. We were at Epcot. We had done everything we wanted to do. And we were like, let's hop over to Hollywood Studios because let's just take the skyline.
Yeah, so like Epcot, we did, like, I think we kind of did rides one day and we did food one day.
Right.
So, like, that's another way to do that one, 2 days.
Yeah. And then,
or half days, whatever you want, you know.
Yeah, and there's, as we're talking about it right now, when I was planning our first trip to Walt Disney World, there's a book called The Undercover, or The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. A lot of people don't read, like, the guidebooks or things anymore because there's things like podcasts and vlogs and stuff like that. But they're still a really great resource. I used to buy one every single year, even though, like, I know these things. But one of the things that they do in those books, like what you were talking about, is they'll break down each of the attractions in each parks. And then they'll say, like, what, based off of kind of their research, what age groups that attraction will appeal to. And it breaks it up into like preschoolers and stuff like that. So that's a really cool thing to, that you could look at too if you're really trying to get that information.
So I was thinking about it. So basically just have park hopper.
Yeah.
I mean, you could like really just schedule it out as a second day in a park. If you have park hopper, then that really takes off the stress.
Now that's true.
You can go do whatever you want to do when you want to do it.
Yeah, and I was looking at Park Hopper. So I was looking at Park Hopper yesterday. I think for two adults and one child. No, I don't remember. I was looking at Park Hopper for a family that I was quoting yesterday. And I want to say it was like $300 extra. But I want to say they were going like 5 or 6 days. And it was four adults.
Yeah, so I guess
four children.
However the math works out, whether you have Park Hopper or you add an extra day to have that, you know, extra park day where you want to leave it to go.
To me, the nice thing about Park Hopper, I was never a proponent of Park Hopper before. We had done it, and I just felt like it's a little bit more stressful because you have to leave one park, and then you have to factor in transportation time to get to another park.
That's half our fun a lot of times now.
But, yeah, Disney also changed it, too. Like, when we had Park Hop before, it was, I guess it was the park hopping rule. Like, you couldn't hop till after 2. Now you can park hop at any time that you want to. So that's really nice. Plus, too, like you just said, like, okay, let's say Hollywood Studios, the only thing you didn't get to do was the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. So, but you really want to do things over at the Magic Kingdom still. You can go to Hollywood Studios first thing in the morning, go to Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, whatever time it opens at, the first show, and then spend the rest of the day there. And like you said, like, otherwise, you're going to miss out on one thing or the other, you know? That's a good point.
Well, I think what you're talking about, like, know the rides, or were you
saying
that? Yeah,
I said plan, like, kind of, like, do research on, like, which attractions are in each park.
It wasn't really necessary, like, a priority for us. I guess it was, like, know what your kids can ride. For us, is like, what rides can we bring the girls on?
Yeah.
Do we have to have them actually facing out?
We had heard that, yeah, and that wasn't true.
Doesn't matter. But also, just know, like... Like, for us, you know, which rides can we take the girls on, like, and holding them?
Yeah.
Like, or else when you get there, you're figuring it out. You're trying to, you're high, or whether you have kids with the height issue, whatever it
true.
Is. Like, just know ahead of time.
Yeah, most of the attractions at Disney don't have a height requirement, but there's some of them do. And then, like you said, like, we chose to carry the girls, wear them on to all of the attractions that we could. I don't think we...
Our girls rode Pirates of the Caribbean 2 times, 3 months old.
Yeah, they rode Peter Pan's Flight, they rode Pirates of the Caribbean 2 times, they rode...
The train,
they rode Little Mermaid, they rode Finding Nemo, they wrote
nothing at Hollywood Studios.
No, the only thing in Hollywood Studios did it was a Frozen sing along, and they love the Frozen.
They did the Frozen
now.
Ride.
They did the Frozen ride at Epcot.
I think that was it.
Yeah, I was trying to. I feel like there was something else that we did, but
we didn't do Three.
We met Mickey. Yeah. No, we didn't do Three Caballeros. We didn't ride Remy's. So yeah, like you said, just kind of figure out, like, like I said, most of the attractions at Disney World are very family-friendly and have no height requirement. But there's a few, like, their thrill rides or, like, the children's roller coasters and stuff. They obviously have to have a height requirement for those, though. So.
Well, all the roller coasters do.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them do, yeah. My next one is pick 3 to 5 must-dos in each park or things for the day. I won't say, yeah, 3 to 5 must-dos for the day in each day. And then all the rest of it is gravy. So what I mean by that is pick 3 to 5 things you have to do that day. Like, let's say you're going to Magic Kingdom one day, you're going to Epcot one day, Hollywood Studios one day, and Animal Kingdom. And pick 3 to 5 things that you're like, I absolutely have to do this. Like, maybe at Animal Kingdom, it's not View Over Journey. Maybe it's eating at Nomad Lounge, and then maybe it's taking the train to Rafiki's Planet Watch to do the animation experience. So make sure like to accomplish those things or figure out how to do those things during your day. And then the rest of it is all just extra. I tell my clients that all the time when they're planning their trip because it can be so overwhelming. Like Magic Kingdom, for example, what we talked about, has like over 20 attractions. There's no way to do all of those. We still have not done all of the attractions at the Magic Kingdom. We've never done Astro Orbiter. We've never done the Riverboat, and we've never done Tom Sawyer Island.
And we've never done Carpets.
Oh, Magic Carpets of Aladdin. You're right. So
we rode Dumbo, though.
Yeah, we rode Dumbo. So like
teacups.
We've never done teacups. We've never done the Speedway. So there's five things we haven't done at the Magic Kingdom. We've never done the Speedway. But part of that is because we didn't have kids that we were like, we don't really want to do that. The other part of it is too is like for the teacups or the Speedway. But the other part of it too is like there's so much to do in the Magic Kingdom that you can really do so much in a day. It would be impossible to me to do all of those attractions in one day. I'm including like Mickey's Fallheim Magic, obviously, like Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, like everything.
Oh, we've never done the carousel.
Oh yeah, we've never ridden the carousel, but we do Carousel of Progress. Do not get that confused. But so like pick 3 to 5 things that you must do, and everything else is just extra.
Little kids and babies like us, 3 is a good number.
Right.
Not because you can't get more done, but you don't know what's going to happen. Who's going to have a blowout? How many times we're going to have to stop and feed?
Yeah.
It's like we knew we wanted to get a picture with Mickey. We wanted to ride a few rides. We wanted to make sure we got some different foods we've never had before for sure.
Right.
And we just kind of cruised around.
One of the things that we're really big on when we go to Disney World is it's not just about the attractions. Like, it's just as much about riding Pirates of the Caribbean to me as it is seeing the Dapper Dans or going into the Crystal Arts, which is off of Main Street where they're blowing glass. Or
I've only rode the train twice.
Yeah, watching the Festival of Fantasy Parade. So the things that are like the thrill rides or like we didn't get to ride Space Mountain this time or Big Thunder Mountain or anything like that. We could have done Rider Switch with it, but like. Yeah, it's just as much about like the things that people look past to us as it is enjoying.
Because
this
trip was obviously a complete learning curve experience for us, and we didn't want to. We could have done everything.
Yeah,
but we didn't want to leave the other one hanging out and not knowing. This is our first time with our girls,
right?
Like in a place like that.
True.
By far. And we don't want to leave the other one hanging out for half an hour, you never even know, you never really know.
Yeah, and because we have twins, it's not just like you have one baby that you have to pacify, you might have to pacify two.
I mean, we had Tron, and we didn't do it, because it just didn't work out, and that's one of those, it's just because you have the queue, that you could be there an hour easy.
True. Yeah, that's true. I don't know what else to say on that.
No, yeah. It just be flexible in that. It goes back to everything. You're not going to do it all.
Right, right.
But you've got to know based on your party and your kids and how big and just like what's attainable, what are things that if we don't get done, everyone's going to be okay with.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
Like, does everybody want the turkey leg or not?
True. No, that's true. Well, and as a side note, when you're planning your next Disney vacation, and if you happen to be looking for somewhere like to add to your must-dos in the park that day, somewhere like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table, one of the table service dining options in each of the parks, especially if it's a harder-to-grab dining reservations, check out Magical Alerts to set up dining reservation alerts for your trip. You'll select the location you're looking to dine at, the preferred date and time, and then when a reservation opens up, you'll get a text message with the dining opening and a link to click that'll take you directly to Disney's login to book the reservation. Head to magicalalerts.com to begin setting up your dining alerts. And if you use the code DOUBLEDOSE at sign up, you'll receive a free alert added to your account.
So use DOUBLEDOSE and you get a free
dining alert.
Pass.
Yep.
So easy, a mouse can do it.
Yeah, so that's like one of the things that we typically have a dining reservation throughout your day or throughout the day. Whenever that's one of our must-use typically, like in every single park.
Take off a little stress.
Yeah.
Let AI take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you just get the alert. It's so easy. You get the alert texted to your phone. You tap on the link in that, and it takes you directly to the dining website to add it to your reservations.
So let somebody else do Genie Plus, and you take care of this one for the dining alerts.
True.
So my number, maybe four. It's probably number four. So it's number five for the day, four for me. It goes right into what we're just talking about. Expect the day to go off course.
Yeah.
That's it. But don't let it, like, the one little speed bump just, like, shut the day down.
True.
I see that all the time, whether it really does or not. I mean, it's just hanging out, waiting for you to do a ride or something. I don't know how many times I saw just blow-ups and fighting with kids, just spanking kids.
I never noticed it, but yeah,
you know, like, you got to expect stuff to go wrong, you know, like, but just don't let it, like, destroy the day. Like, it's, or whether, you know, you don't get rides done or whatever it is, like, take a break, go out of the park if you have to, come back if you can or another day, but it's like, you're not going to get everything done. Like, we say over and over again, everybody says over and over again, you're not going to get it done, especially with kids.
Right.
We slowed down a lot, and we were okay with it because we've been there, you know, several times.
Yeah.
And we were okay with that, but the day does go so fast, though, too, because you have less time for everything, too. It's a weird combo.
And I think what you just said, like, I think that that's probably hard. Like, we are very fortunate and we don't take that for granted that I was crying actually about that yesterday. I just truly feel so grateful that we get to go to Disney World. We get to make a Disney podcast and get to help plan people's Disney vacations and all that stuff. But also, too, like, if you've never been to Disney before, you are probably just as excited as your kids about going to Disney for the first time. So in that instance, I can see where that would be hard for, like you said, like expect things to go off course and stuff, because that parent probably really wants to get on Space Mountain. And if that kid's having a meltdown, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if everybody goes into the trip knowing this and expecting that, though. I think a lot of people that have these crazy breakdowns or things like it go wrong and it ruins it. It's like, because they really have that schedule and that piece of paper and like, here it is.
Right.
This is our one time we're doing it. And it's like, that's fine, but it's not going to be, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I had read in the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World one time, this was a legitimate story from that book, that, so the people who own an unofficial guide also have, I don't know, they have like a tour, they own touring plans. So they get reviews from a lot of people and stuff. And somebody said that they were literally hospitalized with like a panic attack during their Disney vacation because they were so fixated on sticking to the schedule. And I remember like, after reading that, because I can be very type A, and I remember that trip, like, I had, like, two dining reservations at least every single day of our trip. And then I learned, like, very early on, like, make all of your plans ahead of time and don't be upset if they, like, don't pan out, you know?
Well, like, it's like, we still wanted to do as much as we can, no matter what.
Right.
I had Genie Pluses as far as how we could get them and stacking them and all we
but
could
I,
get
I think
them.
We stuck to those, didn't we?
Several of them we didn't even do. Oh. We didn't do Tron, I mean.
We didn't ride Haunted Mansion.
Rides
yeah.
are going to go down and things like that. Like, it just, if you don't know, that's where I think it just
True.
Becomes a nightmare, because you just think everything's open. You don't, like, even look at fireworks. A lot of people probably don't know it's kind of a nightmare at fireworks, where you can go, where you can't go, where it's blocked off, how far you gotta get, you know, in advance.
Yeah, the crowd flows is not great.
So there's a lot, I mean, this is too much. But Disney creates like a different animal of people, because it's just like everyone's type A.
Yeah.
Everyone's, I mean, and schedule oriented. But there's so much money involved here. That's why that's where it comes in. Like, you're spending so much money. Like, I heard that one several times. We're spending so much money for this trip. We're going back home right now, though. Even that, like, just several times. And it's just like, you know, like, you just got to expect failure. But it doesn't matter, because you just got to think of, like I said, where you're at, who you're with, and, like, see everyone through, like, the eyes of everyone you were there with, like, your kids and everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, where you're at.
No, you're right. And I think, like, going into the trip, perfect example. Tony had said on the episode what we were most excited for our next trip. that we couldn't, he couldn't wait to see the fireworks. We never saw the fireworks one night.
Anywhere.
And we didn't expect that. We expected to still be able to see the fireworks. And then we got there and we quickly realized, like, our girls are very much like creatures of habit, as they should be.
We almost had a meltdown because of that.
Yeah.
And they had a meltdown.
As we should be. Like,
we spent too much money to come here with the fireworks. But we didn't say that, but that's what we're thinking.
They're very much creatures of habit, and they were ready to go to bed. And, like, they'll be troopers and sleep in their stroller most of the day, but, like, there's a point where they're, like, they're done. And
yeah, we could have pushed it. It just was not worth it for us just to see fireworks. They're not even...
That we had
not
seen before.
They're not enjoying it. It's just about us, which is fine, but it's like... No, it just wasn't. We'll be back another time, and it's
yeah,
enjoyable for them too.
I see, like what you said. Like, if this is your one and only trip, I see where that's hard. And so, like,
then you just got to plan for a long trip. That's all that comes down to,
right?
Then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
then you can come back multiple days. We're talking about,
or you take like your parents with you, and you have an extra set of hands to take them back,
dump the kids back to the room. Dump the kids with your parents. Then you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
done. See you next time.
And there are a lot of families that, like, they take their, like, grandparents or something. Like I said, we've never traveled with family before.
Bring as many people as you can.
To Disney, yeah.
And
so
just think, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom.
I am really excited about that. Like, so we're going for, like, my mom's fifth birthday.
55th times 5 is 6.
Yeah, my niece's 5th birthday, my mom's 60th birthday.
Holy shit.
And
you said it on the air.
I know. And, I think she does. Yeah. And, like, but what I was saying is, like, it will be really nice, like, because right now Tony and I don't ride attractions together anymore if we go to Disney, so it'll be really nice.
Yeah, we did.
Well, but I'm talking about, like...
It was all four of us.
I'm talking about, like, Space Mountain or, like a thrill ride. Like, we can't ride thrill rides together right now. Like, when we were at Guardians of the Galaxy, we couldn't ride together.
No, so, yeah.
So I said it'll be really nice that, like, my mom can, like, stay with the kids, or we can take turns with, like, my brother and sister-in-law with their kids or whatever.
I was reminded of the thrill ride, I guess, just on air, that you dipped out on.
Expedition Everest.
It was basically just a walk-in, walk-on the road, the ride, and I got back, and nope, you were not doing it.
I love riding roller coasters, but part of the thing that I really love riding roller coasters, like Everest, or Rock and Roller Coaster, or Tower Tire is not a roller coaster, but it's a thrill ride. No, it's just more fun with you.
I'm your safety net.
So I was like, yeah, I feel more comfortable.
Who's gonna talk me into this? I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I do on some rides.
I was usually I'm a little tingly, but you're the one who's freaking me out for no reason to ride. I've already been on.
No, but what I always do is I'm like, I don't want to ride this. I don't want to ride this. I don't want to ride this. And then we get off, and I'm like, it was so much fun.
I don't want to ride it either. But I'm gonna ride it.
I did ride Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was easier to ride at this time because it was a little more stressful at times. Like, you know what? I need that little thrill to kind of push me over the edge.
Ooh.
Of just bringing it back. You think it's more?
You should have told me that.
It's more. I did right when I got off. I'm like, I need a thrill.
Yeah.
It pushes you in a different realm.
Well, that day when we were at Animal Kingdom, that was our first park day, like Tony said. And that day was stressful because we were just trying to, like, it wasn't stressful.
Normally.
We were just trying to, like, that park is so relaxing. And we were just trying to figure out what we were doing.
Normally, you have so much time on your hands. You're like, all right, so do you want to ride it now? Or do you want to come back later and try it out? And this one's like, if we pass up now, I'm not getting back on it. So there was no questions. Don't know Pasco. I'm on. Boom. Rode it. Done.
But. At the same time, the parks were way more crowded when we went this time than I think I've ever seen them.
That's what everyone's been saying lately.
Yeah, which is wild, but I don't know. My number 6 actually flows right into that.
Our number six total.
I'm sorry.
It's probably number
my
eight.
Number three. Use sleep time to do rider switch attractions. So exactly like so. On our day,
you gotta be strategic with this one.
On our day at Animal Kingdom, we were learning a lot of things, right? So we rode Dinosaur. What we should have done is the girls were awake then. They were awake when I got out. So I went first. If you don't know what Rider Switch is, Rider Switch is a program that Disney has for parents just to use like this or like a party where let's say the kids aren't tall enough to ride or they don't want to ride. One rider can go wait in line to get on the attraction. You let the cast member know and they'll give you like a little card. And then the other rider will wait with the kids. When the first rider gets off the attraction, then you pass the card on and the second rider just like gets to skip the line and go straight onto the attraction.
Or if this one doesn't have rider swap, you can just go get wait in line and Or has single rider.
Yeah, you can use single rider too.
Or even like Everest, it has nothing.
Everest has single rider.
It does. I think I just went this normal line.
No, you did. You had a lightning lane.
Even then, like, if you're by yourself, they'll always be calling out, hey, any single riders or whatever, and then you'll always, like, skip a few people up or 10, whatever it is, and fill a spot.
Yeah, so, like, if you're using a lightning lane, you don't have to do rider switch because you're pretty much just walking right onto the attraction anyway. I actually asked when I went to ride Dinosaur, and they were like, you don't need rider switch for this. But if you don't have lightning lane, that's what you would do. What we learned, though, after that first day, so the girls were just kind of like, they should have been sleeping in the stroller, but they were not sleeping in the stroller whenever Tony was riding it, so meltdowns ensued. But what we learned moving forward was to schedule lightning lanes for attractions that the girls weren't able to ride during their sleep times. So then that way they're just hanging out in the stroller sleeping while one of you goes and rides and the other one's waiting with them in the stroller. We also prioritized like taking them out of the stroller and putting them in their carriers during the times that they were awake, so we could all ride attractions together.
Well, that's what we learned. Yeah, is carry them on as much as we can.
Right.
Because yeah, getting them in and out like didn't work as good. But yeah, Disney makes you be so strategic in life. It just rolls. already was this way anyway to begin with, and it just makes it even worse.
Well,
I don't know if it's a good thing.
And like having twins, we joked that like, being type A, I feel like, is actually very beneficial with having twins because you're very organized to, like, learn or to, like, do everything. And I felt like when we first, like, had them, we had to, like, kind of, like, go, go, go all the time. And now it feels, like, easier at home, but it felt like we had to do that on vacation, too.
If you want to get a laugh, just sit down as much as you can at Disney. Just sit down and just look at people. I mean, You can tell these people have been thinking about, just, I guess, thinking about these trips for a long time, and they're beelining left, right. Doesn't matter how many kids are with them. You can tell the plans, they're following the roadmap, the map, the plan they had, and they don't look, nobody's looking around. They're just like, boom, 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 boom. You know, spank a kid here, boom, let's go. Like,
look, I am not afraid to admit, part of the reason why I chose the stroller that we did was specifically because of taking it to Disney World and the way that it would function at Disney World.
So talk about that, because this is a hot topic, too.
So
people still defend one or the other.
Yeah, so people are very, so when you have two kids, if you have a double stroller, people are very tandem stroller or side by side. We are team tandem stroller, meaning the seat sits one in front of the other. Side by side, the downside of side by side strollers is they don't always fit in a normal sized door. There are some that do, but
well, there were some people that were in stores with the side by side
because some of them are more narrow than others.
I mean, they were like side swiping stuff and nobody clearing out the aisle, and it's just like, you know, that I don't know.
So with the side by side, so with like kind of doing that research ahead of time. If you don't have a tandem stroller, if you're looking to rent a stroller for Disney World, there's different services that you can rent strollers that are one in front of the other. Like looking on like a baby Quip, there's renters in Orlando that have like a Mockingbird strollers that you can rent that are one in front of the other. Because when you go on to get on different forms of transportation, you have to have a tandem stroller or you're gonna have to collapse it down. So we were able to just roll our stroller directly onto the Skyliner as well as monorail. I have heard from some people the side-by-side strollers are able to be rolled on, but they have to be the very narrow side-by-side stroller, and it's also up to the cast member and how crowded it is that they may make you collapse it. For buses, you always have to collapse your stroller. It doesn't matter what kind it is. And then for boats, tandem strollers are able to just, again, be able to roll on for the most part. So yeah, that was like a very hot topic of debate. But yeah, being type A, like you learn that. There were also people too that I saw in the parks that had like, you know, those shoe organizers you hang over the back of your door. I've seen people do this and they take and they use those shoe organizers, but they fill them with snacks or they fill them with water bottles and they hang them from the back of their stroller so they know where everybody's water bottles are. Like, it's like people are packing to go to the real Mount Everest whenever they're planning a Disney vacation. And I don't blame them. There's a lot going on. It's an expensive trip, but...
Yeah. Two things I was thinking about.
What?
Always know how to operate your equipment because we learned
that. I knew how to operate it.
Frustrating. Well, we didn't know how to operate it when we had our kids strapped to our chest.
Oh, true.
We're trying to get the stroller and a half to go on the bus. We had the diaper bag. We had another bag. Like, know how to operate stuff because you got to be, you know, sometimes pretty quick. But yeah, that goes.
People
back
were
to like
so helpful though too.
Knowing what you need and don't bring too much that you just be lugging around for no reason.
Right. People were so helpful though. We always had somebody that was offering to like carry off because with our Upa baby stroller, you have to take off like one of the seats on the front to collapse it down, and people are always offering to carry that off the bus for us. What was the other thing that you were thinking of?
That was two in one.
Oh, okay.
So I said, just again, don't know what you need to bring.
Oh, yeah. So you're not the first time dad like trying to collapse the stroller down and
yeah,
all the things. That was us in the airport.
Or first time visitor set, doesn't matter. Like if you got two handfuls of stuff and carrying a kid,
true,
makes for a long day all day.
Yeah, and definitely like plan to use the baby care centers as much as you can. Plan for like
yeah, so know where they're at.
Yeah, sure. And if you find a quiet area of the park and your kid needs to like take a nap or take a break or something, like don't be afraid to like hang out in some quiet area to kind of like get that like the sensory overload break. And in the baby care centers, maybe you have kids that are a little bit older, they don't need to be changed in there or anything like that. There's also rooms in there that are quiet rooms, and they specifically make that atmosphere like very quiet and relaxing so that you can go in there and take like sensory breaks and stuff like that.
At the end of the day, you can make any trip perfect,
right,
quote unquote, with any size of party, with any age of kids. We, I think, couldn't have brought her as much younger.
We just took them straight from the hospital.
It's just the Disney way. You've got to just
plan,
and have a B plan, and then get ready to throw some of those out the window, and just maneuver, and just don't ever take the smile off your face, regardless of what's going on.
Overall, I would say on our trip, that was our perfect first trip with our girls, because that's just my mindset. But I would say that there were things that were unexpected that I didn't expect. I didn't expect us to be back at the resort as early as we were every day, or not having, we went into it with like very few table service dining reservations, but I expected us to make more of them. And I didn't expect us, like I said, not to go to the fireworks. Those are the three things that I didn't expect.
We were still trying to force our normal Disney vacation and make it happen with the girls, which we knew was going to happen. We're still just going to play it out and see if we can make it happen.
Right.
And then we just knew there were certain hours we're going
to
make happen.
There were certain days, though, that we got to do. Like, on our anniversary, we ended up going to Grand Floridian to eat. And, like, we kind of, like, tested the waters there and, like, really kind of pushed the envelope. But we got to eat our anniversary dinner. And, like, we kind of did our normal thing. So our normal thing used to be that we would be up in the morning, go to the park all day. We'd go eat at a resort that was typically near the park or do something and grab a drink over there or something like that. And it was just like this long marathon a day. And that's, Tony told me, he was like, we can't do that anymore. And that was hard for me.
One that I write down when our friends told us, like, it may not work for everybody, but depending on the age of the kid, just don't let them shut the day down before it even gets started.
Right.
You know, like ours, like whether they were fussy before we left the room, we wheeled them out, got the day going, they started getting looking around, they fell asleep, whatever. It's like, don't shut the day down because of some little speed bump.
But
if anything, just maneuver the day differently.
True. Yeah, and like with our girls, like I think that's kind of, Tony and I were having a conversation like before we started like recording this about like, I think that's our girls' personalities though. Like they personally like to be more like on the go.
Yeah, you gotta know your party at the end of the day.
So, that's kind of our girls' personalities at home and away. Like, they kind of like to be, like, going. But
whether you just go back to the resort or something, like, we don't just be like, we're done.
Right.
No. Way too much money, way too much planning. Just, like, go just maneuver to something different besides rides and, like, you know, the high-intensity things and the sensory overload stuff and just, like,
yeah, there's areas.
Scale it down for a little bit.
And there's areas like in each of the parks that you can find quiet things to do. Maybe it's going over to Tom Sawyer Island, which is like a quieter area. Or there's an area in Storybook Circus on the backside of the big circus tent that's a quieter area. Epcot's the only park that I feel like is harder to find like a quiet space, but you can still find one.
In the evening, during the day, it's easy.
Yeah.
Really thinned out.
So that is going to do it for this week's episode. As always, be sure to give us a follow at the Double Dose of Disney Fam on both Instagram and TikTok to keep the fun rolling. And please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. That goes so far to help us continue growing our audience. We will see you right back here next time.
See you.